Now, Long John Silver's and Coca-Cola bring you the superstar baseball card lineup.
Don Mattingly. Tony Quinn. Eric Davis.
Every time you buy a meal in the large Coca-Cola Classic at Long John Silver's, you'll get a pack of five superstar cards free.
Mark McGuire.
All 40 only at Long John Silver's, making a splash.
Better hurry, because with superstars like these, this offer won't last long.
Okay, so get down.
What is up, everybody? Welcome to I Left My Wallet. I'm Antonio the Promise Thomas, also known as Thomas Santel. And I want to thank you for tuning in today for a extremely fun and unique show with the host of the brand new Sports Cards Nonsense podcast up on Bill Simmons' Ringer Network. And that's Mike Giuseppe. Now, a lot of you probably don't collect baseball cards or wrestling cards or MMA cards. A lot of you have never heard of Mike. I got back into card collecting because of Mike and because of this show on The Ringer and Sports Cards Nonsense. It's a different and it's a unique show, kind of like this one. This is a show where we talk sports, and this man, Mike, my guest today, reignited my love for sports cards, wrestling cards, MMA cards, because I started collecting baseball cards when I was like 3 years old. I got my older cousin's hand-me-downs, and by the time I was five, I knew, you know, most of the players in the league. I had the Panini sticker books, all the, you know, Don Russ, Topps, Fleer, then Upper Deck came along. And then, you know, in the 90s, so many companies came across so many different types of cards. You know, I got more into actually wrestling and going into college. And, you know, my love just kind of waned. But, you know, I have noticed this huge card boom over the last year, pretty much since the pandemic started. And I have a lot of these valuable cards of these all-time greats and Hall of Famers, you know, like Ken Griffey Jr., Michael Jordan, Magic Johnson, Larry Bird, Shaq, Barry Sanders, all these guys that card prices are just soaring for. And it's not just with sports cards, it's with wrestling cards too. An 85 Tops Hulk Hogan is selling for up to $13,000 in near mint perfect condition. So this is a craze that extends past just sports cards. The Brock Lesnar rookie card when he was in training camp with the Minnesota Vikings in 2004, a mint one, a Leaf, I think, is selling for upwards of $300. Last month it was like $20. So this is about more than sports cards. It's about wrestling, MMA, memorabilia as well. And we talk about it in this fun episode. It's very unique. And if you're into sports cards and you haven't checked out Mike's show, Sports Cards Nonsense, please give it a listen up on The Ringer. And also, Bill Simmons, if you're listening to this, I'd love to have you on. So I'm a fellow Massachusetts boy, just like Mike. Grew up listening to you when you were the sport, reading you when you were the sports guy in the mid to late 90s. And I listen to most of your shows, if not all of them now. So Cheap plug there. Another cheap plug before we get to Mike. Follow me on Twitter at Promise Thomas or at Retro Grappler. You can also go here on the board, radio shows thread. Look for the Left My Wallet, sports cards nonsense thread. Leave a comment. Let's get some conversation going. Had some great conversation on the Max Caster episode. Had Eric Watts on talking some football and some wrestling. And now we're talking some wrestling cards. We're talking some MMA cards and a whole lot of sports cards with my guest, Mike Giuseppe. Enjoy. To listeners here who may not be familiar with the sports card market or have collected sports cards in the past, I can't think of a hotter time or a crazier time for sports cards than right now. Before we move forward, give the listener here just what has happened with sports cards in this last year, because it's, especially in the last few months, it's become insane with how much these prices have multiplied, and give your explanation and reasoning for what's gone on this last year.
Yeah, it's been totally insane. So yeah, a year is probably a good time frame, about the time COVID started. You know, people, I say coming to my age group, so I'm 35 this year. It's one of those things, we started looking back. Of course, I've been involved in the hobby and the market for a long time, but guys of similar age to me, it's like you're getting a little older, you have a little money, you want to start, you know, making investments or doing something. Stock market's not for everybody. And it's just like collectively this weird group of society was like, hey, we're going to start buying baseball cards again. We used to do this. It was kind of cool to collect. There's already an established market. And then just a flood of new people. And then with COVID, it was perfect timing. I mean, everything, like everything else in life now, online presence is everything. So you've got just virtual card shops or virtual, what they call break rooms. You can go on and Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, wherever, you know, and just pick out, like, you're literally in a card shop. I want to buy that pack, or I want to buy that individual card or that box. And then people got stimulus checks, and we know people love to be irresponsible with those. So that worked out perfect. So they just decided they were going to buy cards. And then you just had people getting into it and drawing attention like never before. I mean, you know, Gary V, who was on our show Tuesday.
Sure.
I mean, that's a guy, never in a million years do I think I'll be talking to who I consider the biggest social media influencer of money, at least. You know, he's out there promoting cards. You know, Bill Simmons, my boss, is talking about cards. Yeah. You just get guys who have a ton of attention and money drawing even more attention to this platform.
Now, is a lot of this increase in and craziness for cards, is this fueled by a lot of white collar, upper middle, you know, upper class echelon of income people, or is you know, like, has what has happened to GameStop and with the stock market, has that kind of carried over to the card market, to where people with a lot of money are really buying up all the most expensive product?
Yeah, so it's across age groups and social circumstance for sure. I mean, you've got guys coming in now, part of literally like hedge fund buying groups in sports cards now. I mean, there's people last week, two Michael Jordan rookies that were graded a perfect 10, sold for over $700,000. I mean, obviously that's not blue collar dudes going out and, you know, that's a lot of drywall to sling to be buying a $700,000 card. That's what I used to do for a living. But yeah, I mean, so you've got that group of guys in. A lot of people on Wall Street, hedge fund guys, getting into the super high end, upper echelon stuff. But then there's a lot of just different entry points as well. I mean, you can go out and buy a $5 or a $10 Michael Jordan card, or, you know, guys who are a little younger, like guys in my age group, you can go out and buy a $50 Ken Griffey Jr. card, because you grew up watching the kid. And so there's a lot of different entry levels as far as price point. So I think it just makes it very accessible to just about anybody. And then, like you said, the GameStop thing, I mean, now it's like, man, what's the next hype? You know, Bitcoin took off and went nuts. Then all these other cryptos, and then GameStop. People are just kind of in that mindset now of what's next, because there's so many people just falling backwards into money and into investing things. So it's like, a sports card is a thing that I can enjoy. I can, you know, have a picture of a card that I enjoyed as a kid, for, you know, a moment that reminds me of that. And, oh, by the way, maybe this thing will go up 5x over the next month on a, you know, kind of a fluke.
Right. And again, setting the table here for what we're going to talk about, this, this isn't a fluke. A lot of people think that, you know, everything's cyclical. Wrestling is cyclical, and card collecting is the same way. But there are the holy grail cards or the all-time great cards. Tom Brady, his cards aren't going down. LeBron James, not going down. Michael Jordan, those are, for the listener here, those are cards and athletes, the all-time greats. You recently talked about Tim Duncan and Kevin Garnett. These are guys, the book, for the most part, has been written. And, you know, I was putting money into an IRA, but now I take some of that money and I'm putting it into these all-time greats at some reasonable prices, at some expensive prices. And I feel pretty confident that in the long run, those will appreciate in value.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I mean, again, you hear the term bubble thrown around a lot, right? And that's true. Everything is a bubble to a degree. Sports card market is certainly at the height of its market that it's ever been. No question. More money being spent, more product being produced, more eyes on the market. No question. So the bubble is strong. Even when this bubble bursts, so to speak, which I don't think it's going to go from, you know, 100 to zero. That's not going to happen because you have too much real money. But yeah, even if that happens, so that Michael Jordan card now goes from 700,000 to what, 650? I just feel like people who have $700,000 to spend on a Michael Jordan are fairly recession-proof people. I mean, yeah. Even with Tom Brady stuff. Again, the guys who are walking in off the street to buy Brady stuff now, it's not like when I started this 10 years ago, when I could go buy a Brady rookie in a nice grade for $500. Yeah. You know, That's the type of stuff now that's just untouchable unless you've been holding it for years. But yeah, it's just, to me, it's as safe as any. Some of this, when you get to that level, is as safe as any financial institution because there's just such a heavy demand on the market that even when it, you know, slows down, there'll still be a high demand for that top end stuff.
Yeah. And, you know, as a 12-year-old, I bought that 86-87 Fleer set. You know, and it came with the sticker.
Have that set?
What's that?
I said, you still have that set? Let's talk.
I
is it retirement time? What are we talking about?
Well, yeah, we can talk off air, but, I bought that set with, some, you know, from mowing lawns and some chore money that I got. And, it came with the sticker set as well. And I remember when I was in high school, my friends and I went to a local card show at the mall, and I couldn't stand Patrick Ewing and I couldn't stand Karl Malone because they were kind of the nemesis of the Bulls at the time. Sure. I traded those for two boxes of action-packed football cards. Yep. And then I traded the sticker set for a couple other football boxes, because my friends and I were all in on Rick Meyer and Drew Bledsoe at the time. And
oh, man.
That
their
one,
rookies were in that action pack set. I remember that from 93.
Marshall Faulk. Yeah. Their rookies were in there. And Rick Meyer was rookie of the year in 93. And then, didn't do anything. And last thing here before we move on, how many back in 2000, how many collectors were grabbing that Giovanni Carmazzi, Tom Brady, dual rookie card because of Giovanni Carmazzi?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that was sitting. You go to a card show back then, that was just sitting in like a $2 for $1 box.
Yeah, yep. Yeah. For a year and a half, probably until 2001. So
absolutely.
So one item here on a, as we start to talk about wrestling and MMA, it's a specific item. It's a 1997 Cardinal WWF trivia game. Last year, the whole card game set was going for $20. Now, a Stone Cold Steve Austin card, $250 to $300, and a rock card, $1,200 to $1,300. And I've looked up some Dwayne Johnson, The Rock cards from their college cards when he played at Miami. The prices are insane. Now, what would you attribute to, you know, a card set going from $20 now to having multiple cards that could be worth $1,500 combined.
Yeah, again, so I think it goes back to the same thing we're seeing in the sports card market, just so much more attention. People are now just walking into the space. They say, hey, I want that card set. Because for a long time, the established sports card buyer, if I wanted to buy a card, like me, for example, if I want to buy that specific Tom Brady card, I'm going to go to eBay and go to all the forums and see, hey, it sells for $100, so I'm going to pay about $100.
Hmm.
Now you have so many new buyers and new people in the market. It's not that, hey, what is this thing worth? It's just, I want that set and that's it. Like, I just want it. I know it's supposed to be $100. I'll pay $500 for it.
Hmm.
People want that instant gratification. They just want it. And specifically with The Rock. So Gary Vee talked about on his YouTube, he's got that, I believe it's from Sports Illustrated. It's one of those tear out cards.
Oh my God. Yes.
So that just sold for, I think it closed over $45,000.
For The Rock?
For The Rock and his Miami University, that tarot card, it was graded. I believe it was graded by PSA, which is just a grading company. They put it in a permanent plastic holder.
Sure.
It was graded Gem Mint, whichever company it was. And yeah, just went off at eBay at over $45,000. And again, that's just a direct result of The Rock is huge with wrestling, right? I mean,
yeah.
He was. I even remember when I was a kid, I watched wrestling. I'm not super into the space now, but I remember him. It was a big thing. And now he's like one of the highest paid performers and entertainers in the movie business. He is literally just a pop culture icon. So that's another one. People are not buying that because it's a card. People are literally saying, this is an icon and I want to have a piece of pop culture history. And so all of a sudden people who wouldn't normally spend $1,000 in this space are spending $45,000. It's just insane.
Wow. All my cards from the 80s and 90s are up in my mom's attic. So I have a lot of those Sports Illustrated for Kids cards as well. Are they worth more if you can get them in Gem Mint 10 condition outside of the magazine? Or do you think they're worth more in the magazine?
Yeah, so for sure, it's a super tough thing because like what you're talking about, Sports Illustrated back in the day, there'd be six cards, you know, you kind of fold the page and tear them out, that proliferate, I can never say the word, the tearaway edge, you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. Perforated. So tough.
Perforated, there we go. See, this is why, not only are we talking sports here, I'm getting a little grammar lesson, which is...
I'm a teacher as well.
Are you really?
As PE and health in addition to...
Okay.
You know, wrestling. Yeah.
And you're just slinging around some English knowledge now. I like it. I'll take it, man. I need the education. So yeah, the PSA 10 is so tough, or a Gem Mint graded card of that is so tough because let's be honest, when me and you were ripping out the Rock card 15 years ago, we were not worried about the edge. We just wanted, you know, we were just tearing out as fast as we could. So the population, the amount in existence that would have a shot to grade perfect is tiny. I mean, just a wicked low number, right? So there's just, again, supply and demand. This one's worth $45,000. And if there's only a handful of others, you know, you've kind of set the market there. But so, yeah, so to answer the question, if you can get those things out and in perfect condition, like really take your time and grade them, you can make a lot of money. Absolutely.
What do you know about this wrestling set, Wrestling All-Star from 1982? It has... I would want to say it has Andre the Giant card. I'm looking at $68 now for bidding. It has a Ric Flair BGS 9.5 that's going for $50,000. And then you can get like an Ivan Putski card for $10.50. A Hulk Hogan one for $13,000. What do you know about this set? And, was it highly populated at the time?
So sad to say, I know nothing about that set, the 1982. So I know there's the 1982, there's that All-Star set. I don't know a ton about that. The only thing I do know is that, so there's the Hulk Hogan card with the yellow border.
Yes.
It's kind of just like a headshot.
Mm-hmm.
So that card is worth massive money now. Because again, Hulk Hogan, like who doesn't know? My mother knows who Hulk Hogan is. You know, like everybody knows who Hogan is, right?
He's the Babe Ruth of wrestling.
And Andre the Giant was like on that level and then has the mystique of dying young. You know, people die early. There's a crazy mystique around it. Roberto Clemente for the same thing. They're great for what they did on the field or in the ring, but you die early. It's like all of a sudden the myth becomes even greater than the actual You know, we saw that with Kobe Bryant, right? Kobe Bryant was already a top 10 guy. Now all of a sudden it's like, well, no, he was almost as good as Jordan.
Right.
No, he wasn't.
No. I still put Tim Duncan above him. Kobe can be in the top 10. Great. Maybe as a competitor, he's up there with Jordan, the will to win, the ridiculous work ethic. But as a teammate, I mean, him and Shaq could have won, what, 8 titles if they stayed
still
together?
Be winning. Yeah, I mean, you know? Yeah, exactly. Yep.
Yeah, they could still be winning at, you know, with, yeah. So, yeah, all-time greats like that. We discussed it earlier. So for people here on the site that subscribe, they're huge wrestling fans, huge MMA fans. It's a niche site for that in particular. Aside from those, what for MMA, you know, you have, I saw a Conor McGregor autograph card from 2020 Tops. I think it was $800. The story is still to be written for Conor McGregor, but certainly he's going to be, you know, he's the biggest draw in MMA history. What do you know about MMA cards and, the all-time greats there, like a George St. Pierre, a Randy Couture, a Ken Shamrock, who crosses over into pop culture and the mainstream. What do you see for the outlook of mixed martial arts cards?
Yeah, so that's a weird space for me, right? So I don't want anybody in your audience trying to body slam me. I'm not an MMA guy. I just not an interest of mine. I never got into it, but it does cross over with the card market. So on the card side of things, for example, I think there's huge upside. You know, we've seen soccer and basketball, baseball, football go nuts, right? Absolutely crazy. Even some hockey. The wrestling thing is starting to pick up. I think there's room left on wrestling. The MMA thing, what's interesting is they have deals with Tops for officially licensed baseball cards or MMA cards, UFC in particular. Just like, so you can go to a store and buy a UFC Tops pack, just like you can go and buy a baseball, Topps baseball set. And so you've got a few names there. Again, whether you have interest in the sport or not, you have some crossover guys, right? So again, I am super ignorant on the history of the sport or even anything about it. But I can tell you right now, if you pull a Conor McGregor auto, huge money. John Jones is a massive money maker in the card side of things. GSP, again, George St. Pierre, I only know that because if you see these guys pull a GSP card, it commands a huge amount of money. So you're seeing it with the top names for sure. Those guys, like if I know who they are, it probably sells really well because I know nothing. But there's definitely going to be the trickle-down effect. I'm sure that, like, if I asked you right now who are the 20 biggest names in the sport, yeah, I don't even know if those guys are still relevant. I mean, Connor I still see, but I don't know if any of those other guys are even still relevant.
Sure.
Which just tells me that as people start to get into that space, you've got guys like me where it's like, okay, I know a couple names. I know there's money. I can buy it and flip it. And then you've got a huge population of guys who are in your space already. And it's like, hey, I already like watching this and it hasn't caught on yet. So maybe this is the next thing. You know, that's kind of the recipe for what we saw with sports cards. I just think it's a little bit delayed. I hate to keep referencing it, but Gary Vee's high on that too. He was big when he was talking to us, big on UFC, big on wrestling, you know, especially guys that kind of transcend the, you know, strictly sports arena. So yeah, I think there's big upside for sure.
What about Mike Tyson? I'm looking at a couple cards here. There's a Leaf trading card, $200. Talk about a guy that, you know, transcends cultures and pop culture. Everyone knows who Mike Tyson is. And the story is still kind of being written, but this is a guy that's become really likable the last 10 years, and he's a pop culture icon. I'm looking here. I'm seeing cards for a couple hundred dollars, $30, $50. What do you see for an outlook for Tyson?
Yeah, so he's an interesting one. Again, I keep playing the stupid ignorant card of mine, and it's not playing. It's real. I really just am that dumb. So I'm not a boxing guy, right? But Tyson, another name. My mother knows who Mike Tyson is. I mean, anybody on the street knows who Mike Tyson is, right? So the one thing that's weird, you would think there will be a huge boom with Tyson stuff. The one reason I feel like it probably won't be is there was already somewhat of a market for Mike because he was such a universal star even before a year ago, before everything really took off. So what's tough now is boxing as a sport, I mean, certainly seems to still be on the decline. I mean, I don't know that many people, at least in my age group, who are hyped up for boxing matches anymore. Like, it just doesn't seem like it's...
The big ones. You know, Deontay Wilder, Tyson Fury. Anthony Joshua, Canelo. Now you got Ryan Garcia, Teofimo Lopez, guys like that. It's becoming, I want to say, you know, following MMA very closely, and I do a lot of boxing myself in my own training. I want to say it's on the come up, and it's, you know, it's on Fox. It's on, they have the PBC series, on some major networks. So, you know, it was really seemed like it was dying, the last 20 years, but, I think it's on the come up.
Okay. So then obviously you are much more knowledgeable in the space, right? If that's the case, then there's probably a market for a lot of the guys you just mentioned, not named Tyson. Tyson okay. kind of already had that market. And the tough thing with Tyson is if you go on, like you just said, I'm looking at this card, he has so much stuff out there. Mike Tyson is one of those guys who signs everything under the sun. He's always been super involved, which is cool, good and bad, right? Right. So it's good because you can find, if you really spend some time and look, you can get a Mike Tyson card for cheaper than guys from any other sport who have much less notoriety. The flip side of that then is there's no exclusivity. You know, Brady's market is insane because not only is he an icon and this huge name and great at what he doesn't, compared to a lot of other stars in that sport, he doesn't sign anything. Super limited supply. So Tyson has just kind of already flooded that market. But if you're telling me that those other guys, it's really an up and coming thing and it's starting to pick up steam, like it sounds like it might be, then my play in boxing would be, I wouldn't waste time with Tyson. I think that ship's kind of come and gone. So who's the next guy like that, who has some international appeal? Cause now cards are such an international appeal market. I would kind of look for the next guy there. You know, if it's Wilder or Tyson Fury, you know, Fury, I know just from his ESPN stuff, the guy's everywhere, right? Not a fan of boxing. I know he is the Gypsy King, right?
Yeah.
I don't know anything else about anybody else in the sport of boxing right now. Again, I just not involved, but I know that guy. Yeah. He is larger than life on in and outside of the ring. To me, that might be a guy. Now, when it comes to actual supplies, I couldn't sit here and tell you this year, this set, he has something, but I would imagine there's stuff out there. And to me, yeah, that's probably if boxing's on the come up again, maybe he's the next. To me, that would seem like a logical next guy to spike in that sport.
Okay. We have a lot of I need to learn how to talk now. we have a lot of international listeners here, subscribers, you know, from the UK, from Canada. You mentioned soccer at the top of the show. Who, and I want to get into some reasonable buys and some you know, inexpensive athletes and cards that anyone can buy and start collecting. Who are some soccer and hockey players, you know, cards, specific athletes that are at a pretty reasonable price now that any fan of those sports can go out and get and, you know, possibly see a nice gradual appreciation over the next few years and in the long term of those guys?
So this is the point in the interview where I really disappoint you, right? Soccer, again, not a strong
for
me, but I'll say this. The soccer market, to me, has probably the most room to grow, even though it has already exploded compared to where it was 12 to 18 months ago.
Yeah.
I think the American market here in the States, people are finally starting to say, like, hey, this is a big thing. I feel like for the last 20 years, like even me in high school growing up, it was always, oh yeah, but soccer's the next sport. Soccer's going to be the next
sport. Soccer is the third sport here in the country. It's behind football and the NBA. I'm a baseball guy, but I'm sorry.
Baseball's kids dying.
I teach and I coach kids. Nobody talks about baseball. Unfortunately, nobody talks about wrestling. They talk about soccer. They talk about martial arts. They talk about hockey and the NBA.
Yep. Yeah. And it's funny, you know, and here's a huge reason why. You look at baseball right now. Like, and I do this with my wife once in a while. Name a baseball player in the market right now.
Yeah.
Current. Only name she'll come up with, David Ortiz. It's like, well, he's been gone for a while. And she only knows that because I'm a Boston freak.
Yeah.
But if I were to tell her, even with soccer, I'll be honest with you, she knows Cristiano Ronaldo. She knows Pele, Maradona. So some of those names, again, not current, but she knows who they are. They just do such a good job of selling the stars. Similar, really, it mirrors what the NBA does. Yeah. You ask anybody on the street who LeBron James is, they know, right? Michael Jordan, I mean, you'd have to crawl under a savage-sized rock to find somebody who doesn't know who Michael Jordan is. Even Kobe. You know, hey, do you remember Kobe died last year? Yeah, I saw it. You know, I saw it here. I saw it there. Sports, like the individual-type sports that market their players, there's going to be – so to me, we talked about grail-level stuff. Those names I just mentioned in soccer, and there's a new guy. Again, I'm going to butcher the name, Mbappe. I don't even know who that is.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't follow soccer at all.
So his stuff, I have no clue who this guy is. Yeah. His stuff, anywhere you can find it, is literally a gold mine. Okay. It's insane. And then even the old guys, like I said, a Pele auto right now, you know, Pele's not signing anymore.
No,
I
mean, no.
You know, Pele autos to me are on that. They're not as expensive as Jordan and Brady, but they're never going to. There's never going to be a day where that card's worth $50.
And
those things are just huge.
Diego Maradona, who passed away last year.
Yep, you know? Huge money.
Yeah.
Cristiano Ronaldo, big money. Yeah. You know, so it's a thriving market for sure. Hockey's the same. So hockey is starting to come around again. We saw that a few months ago, especially when the Gretzky card started taking off. Hmm. You know, Gretzky, I don't think anybody's going to argue. And I grew up with a father who idolized Bobby Orr, right?
Sure.
So Bobby Orr was my guy. Yep. You know, I mean, you're a Mass guy.
Yeah.
I don't think anybody's arguing Gretzky's not the GOAT.
Sure.
Right. In that sport. I mean, you look at his numbers. Dude's putting up more assists in a season than guys are putting up total points in 3 years. You know, 200 points a season. Just ridiculous. His rookie card was always so undervalued compared to the GOATs of other sports. That started to just take off at a crazy level. And then you've got some young guys now who are just, again, their market is so strong. There's a lot of money in hockey. And I think hockey's another sport that's just slower to the party. It's coming up now, and it's going to continue to rise.
Okay. Paul Fontaine, if you're listening, get those Alexis Lafreniere cards. He told me, I don't know anything about hockey, and he was he's from Canada, and he brought his name up. Yeah, I want to finish up with some quick hits here, but
sure.
I've said it before on the show here. If Mike Trout goes walking through Faneuil Hall, nobody's going to recognize him. Maybe a couple people, but if Ronald Acuna or Fernando Tatis go to the Holyoke Mall, there nobody's going to recognize them.
Right.
Yeah, and that's a problem. If Luka Doncic or Trae Young or Zion Williamson go anywhere, they're going to get mobbed. You talk about you have a buy and sell segment on your podcast, Sports Cards Nonsense, on The Ringer. Every week you have a buy and sell where if you're, you know, you every twice a week, show comes out twice a week. You know, guys that you are buying or not maybe in on for the long term. I want to bring up a couple guys here that I looked and their card prices are they're low. And I think that you tell me if I'm wrong, that there's a lot of room for these guys to maybe be all time greats. And for those prices to go up. And the first one that comes to mind, and this is, you know, basketball and quarterbacks seem to be go for the most money, it seems, especially this last year. And a guy whose rookie cards seem pretty reasonable, who's going to be in the Hall of Fame, and I think has a Super Bowl or two left in him, is Russell Wilson.
Yeah, so Wilson's interesting. Wilson, up until – so he has taken a massive spike in price this season. His stuff was – it's like we forgot about him. You know, they hadn't won a Super Bowl since 2013.
Hmm.
He's starting to kind of fall into that class of like the Rodgers, Breeze. It's like you got there once, and then, where have you been the last 5 years?
Hmm.
With the hot start he had this year, it was perfect timing, right? The football season really coincided – really, really well with the spike in the market. So Russell Wilson stuff, just to use even numbers, a car that maybe started the year or at the beginning of COVID was $100. You know, Wilson was about 4 to 10 times the amount he started the season with during the real peak of this market. He's held quite a bit of that value, of course, getting knocked out of the playoffs early, and then the offseason and stuff has dropped some. But yeah, he's a guy, if you said right now, you know, his price is X, and over the next 8 years, he's going to win two more Super Bowls. What is X? It's 2 to 3 times.
Yeah.
You know, he's just kind of, but again, he falls into that thing of when are you going to win another ring?
Yeah.
You know, that's really the biggest thing holding him back.
What about Matthew Stafford? We don't know how it's going to go with the Rams.
Right.
But they're going to at least be as good as they were with Goff. They're probably going to be a lot better. Stafford, a guy that, you know, Detroit has been a horrible franchise, really had nothing around him. That's a guy that's in the right situation, right coach, big time city. Would you be buying some inexpensive Matthew Stafford rookies?
Yeah, so Stafford was on. We talked about him maybe 2 or 3 weeks ago. Stafford's a buy from me.
Okay.
So his rookie year is 2009, kind of the flagship rookie card for quarterbacks, at least as a contenders auto. Panini Contenders makes it's like they're really their most sought after rookie. That autograph is still a few hundred bucks to me for the reasons you just said. Stafford, I think, jumps. The Rams already beat Russell Wilson without a quarterback. I mean, Jared Goff was – I don't really know you that well, Thomas, but I'll be honest. I think your arm strength or my arm strength is both on par with Jared Goff. I mean, the guy, injured or not, it's just – you know, he's never really done it for him aside from getting there and having Brady walk on him. But, yeah, Stafford's a perfect situation. You get offensive weapons. That's going to be a competitive team. You got to – I mean, worst case, they're as good. I think they probably take a step forward. And a guy like that's never seen playoff success. So he's another guy next year. If you're telling me they're in just the hype of him making the playoffs, yeah, would create a huge bump in his market. I'm a buy on Stafford. He's relatively cheap, and I think you're going to see something we've never seen before, which is postseason, Matt.
Okay. If Jameis Winston gets, if he re-signs with the Saints, with that offense, with Sean Payton, we know what he can do. I mean, the guy can throw for 5,000 yards, 35, 40 touchdowns. It's the 35 and 40 interceptions that have hindered him.
Right.
I went on and I bought, you talk about a possible inexpensive investment. I got a bunch of ungraded from reputable collectors on eBay that have a you know, 100% from a couple thousand people. For those that go on eBay, I bought some Jameis Winston cards. They were like rookie cards, 2015. Mm-hmm. They were like $5, $10 here or there. Are you in on Jameis Winston?
So I'm not, but I don't hate the play. I mean,
yeah.
You get 10 cards for $50. It literally takes, it's a quarterback driven league. He comes out one time and throws 300 yards and 4 touchdowns to Michael Thomas. And those, for at least a week or two, those $5 cards are $15.
Okay.
You know, the one cool thing about super cheap stuff like that is it doesn't take much for it to double. And all of a sudden, I mean, I don't care how much you spend. If you can double your money doing anything, like you've done well. So, yeah, I don't hate it for a cheap play. I think there's other places I would spend because I just don't trust the kid. I mean, people talking about eating a W, I have trouble putting too much money into it. But no, I think it's a good cheap play on a flyer. I mean, why not?
Last one here. There were rumors, obviously, take them for what they're worth, that Jim Irsay was texting Andrew Luck. Someone got text conversations or something from a friend or from his wife's friend. That I don't put much stock into that. But whenever there's a flicker, I don't even want to say a flame, but whenever there's a flicker of someone who's 31 years old and at the top of his game, possibly coming back. I mean, I got a Andrew Luck rookie for $1 yesterday. I won a bid because nobody else was paying attention to it. There's a bunch of ungraded cards out there for a couple bucks. A guy like Andrew Luck doesn't cost much. It's cheaper than buying a pack now for $5 or $10. What do you think about a guy like that?
Yeah. So again, it's funny you mentioned that. Even his stuff last week took a bump. We live in a hype era, you know, people, hey, Irsay was texting him. Is this guy maybe coming back?
Yeah.
So people hear that and it's like, I want to be the first to get his stuff before it jumps. Whether it goes anywhere or not, I think his stuff probably will sell higher a month from now than it is today, just because I think people are going to go out and speculate. They want to find the next thing before it is. And if he came back, I mean, you know, who knows? It's 31 years old, a lot of injuries. But that Colts team also played really well and you know, made some noise in the playoffs. I mean, that team is not far away from being really competitive in the AFC. So if he were to come back, his stuff would go through the roof compared to what it is now. Again, 5 to 10 times the return for now.
Yeah.
But even just the hype of him maybe coming back, I think you'll see a steady kind of growth throughout the offseason.
And I would say for people listening, keep an eye on where Carson Wentz goes. If he goes to the Colts, probably throw that notion out. But if he doesn't, it becomes very interesting.
And Deshaun Watson, somebody's got to mortgage the farm for that guy. He is such a stud, and his stuff will explode. Already high.
Yeah.
He goes to an actual team, his stuff will just explode.
The Donruss rated rookie that the Mahomes is going for, I think, $2,000. Mm-hmm. The Deshaun Watson's going for like $300-$400, I believe. And he's every bit as talented, I think, as Patrick Mahomes. He's a stud. And you know, yeah, I agree. I had him here. I had him listed as one of the guys. But, yeah, I'm glad you brought him up. As we wrap things up here, who are – you talk about it on every episode. You have guys that go in on this guy. He's an all-time great. You know, his or her prices are going, you know, for extremely affordable rates right now. Who are a couple guys that you see going forward, all-time greats that you can get at, you know, for very affordable prices?
Yeah, so there's a couple guys. I mean, Peyton Manning is somebody to me you can still get. He's another one. He came in late 90s, so 98 is his rookie year. Ton of production. You can still find Peyton Manning rookies relatively cheap. Like even pretty big name tops or Bowman, stuff like Upper Deck in the $50 range, 50 to 75 bucks. I don't see how you go wrong with that. Especially him. He's going to the Hall of Fame induction weekend. There's always hype around it.
And he's a personality like Gronk. And I think like Travis Kelce will be, he's a guy that's going to, and Tony Romo, he's a guy that's going to stay in the public spotlight and is becoming endearing personality, whether it's, you know, on his where he details stuff on ESPN or commercials. I mean, that's a guy that after his playing career, the price could is still going to go up outside of football.
Yeah, absolutely. So yeah, you'll have hype around the ceremony, and then, you know, he's going to do SNL and he's going to do ESPN spots. Like you said, he's going to stay socially relevant. So yeah, I think Manning's a great buy. You know, some of the guys you said at the top of the show, Tim Duncan. I mean, Tim Duncan, the majority of people who have a brain in their skull would tell you he's a top 10 all-time basketball player.
Yeah.
Tim Duncan stuff sells. Now, the caveat with this is there's always a couple cards that people have historically viewed as the card to get. So for Tim Duncan, he has a rookie that sells for about $4,500 right now. And then he has other cards that look just as nice. And if you don't know anything about cards, you come in, you see it's a cool-looking card. It's his rookie year. It's a different brand than the $4,500 one. But for the same grade, same everything else, I can get this one for $300 to $400. That's really where I'm starting to see the most value and the most spike, because it's like, you know, the hobby purists, yeah, they're going to come in and tell you, no, you have to get the Topps Chrome rookie. You know, John off the street comes in, I don't care about what you purists say. You know, you were the guys who I was shoving into a locker anyways for playing with baseball cards in high school. Like, I'm not following your rules. I want to buy a Tim Duncan rookie. So that's what they're going to do. And there's a bunch of cards that have not caught up yet. Same with Kevin Garnett. The reason I like those two, especially right now, Hall of Fame this year. They're getting inducted. Well, they were inducted last year. They're having the ceremony this year.
Yeah.
Paul Pierce, another guy, just vastly undervalued. I think his stuff's going to spike. Dwayne Wade. I think Dwayne Wade's another guy universally not appreciated for how good he was. You know, we're starting to see his stuff spike, and there's probably still more room there.
When last thing here, before I get to plug the show and your social media, buying ungraded cards and then getting them graded. Obviously, ungraded, you can get them for a lot cheaper. If you buy them from reputable dealers that have been on eBay and, you know, have a good track record of quality items, what, you know, something says near mint to mint on eBay and then you get it graded. What does that translate to? Would that be a PSA 7, 8? Like, it seems very rare that you're going to find a PSA 10 unless it's perfectly centered and it goes right from the pack into the sleeve.
Yeah, so anytime you're buying a raw card, which just means, you know, it's sitting in the same condition as when it came out of the pack, I generally try to price it competitively with like a 7 or an 8. Your near mint is 7 to 8, so somewhere in that range. I mean, okay. there's still times, yeah, you'll buy a card raw and it might pop as a PSA 10. Awesome. Realistically, 7, 8, 9 is more in the realm. So yeah, to stay safe, I would try to pay about the same I would pay for a 7 or an 8.
Okay, great. Mike, sports card nonsense on the Ringer podcast platform. Mentioned Bill Simmons is your boss. There's a guy that transcends pop culture that everybody knows. Your show has made a huge difference for me. I enjoy it. I love it. It's a go-to, as I was telling you off air. Tell the listeners here about the show and where everyone can find you on all your social media platforms.
Yeah, for sure. Appreciate the plug. Yeah, so it's the name Sports Cards Nonsense. We're all over Twitter, Instagram. We're on TikTok, even though we're too old and we don't dance well enough to do it. I'll be honest with you, TikTok is a weird thing, but man, it has a ton of views. So we mess around on TikTok. The actual podcast, Sports Cards Nonsense, it's brought to you by Spotify, so you can listen to it there or anywhere else you get your podcasts. And it's under the YouTube channel, is the Ringer YouTube channel. We're there. And basically, that's what we do. We talk sports, but there's also, you know, I feel like there's a million people out there talking about sports and giving their take. And, you know, that's cool. We try to just tie in cards to a degree as well and then just talk about different stuff. My co-host is my buddy, Jesse. I'm 35. I don't know if I can call him my best friend still. I don't know if I'm still allowed to use that terminology, but he's my best friend. So he's on the show with me. We have guests on once in a while. And Jesse's comes from an investment and a financial background. No interest in sports or sports cards except for, you know, hey, where are there pockets in this thing where I can come in and invest and make money? So he brings a little bit of a different angle. And yeah, it's on Tuesdays and Fridays, drops every week as of right now. And yeah, it's super new. So we're still working and trying to do all we can to hustle. So I was super excited. You've got a way bigger following than me. So when you reached out, I thought it was
no.
Like we were psyched to get on, man, really.
How about a Duncan rookie?
Nope.
All right. How about a Duncan and a Yao?
Nope.
Okay, all of that, a Carmelo fresh out the pack, and 2 Shaq rookie cards.
Still no.
Oh, man, are you serious? Listen, kid, I need that card. They cut a hole in my lucky jersey. Can you believe that?
NBA trading cards with game-worn inserts. The game is in your hands now. Get them at Toys R Us.
Keys to my house.
Yeah. Highness the rebel, your highness, with 7-0 esoteric, speaking real words, speak on it, kid.
Yo, I touch the mic like a savage, the esoterodactyls, rap styles beyond average, to say the least, I'm slaying beasts with the right plan, I'll take a hype man and beat him with the mic stand, you're like, damn, I better get a resource, I'll overpower 3/4 of your police force, you're talking to a fugitive or serving crew, fakers on deck to come back to murder you. Dawn. Who's the droid who destroyed numerous humanoids that got a bomb? You're nothing but a tag along that I be ragging on. 7 hours in the cut, what Joe was tapping on? The 3000, me, I'm just lounging, waiting for a sucker MC to start pounding. You know the deal, so check the cassette. It's esoteric and it's back to deck. What you expect? They don't know microphones banging. 7 hours in esoteric, speaking real words. They don't know microphones banging. It's back to deck.
Yeah. Stash heat, creep past police on the beat. Keep it moving in the mean streets. Out of black sheep, roll deep with the killer bees. Quick on the squeeze, freeze. Nobody move, just hand over the G's. Going with the breeze, everything's peace at ease. Now I'm laid back, counting stacks, twisting the trees. My back scorching, way beyond 30 degrees. Enemies get blown like autumn leaves. Authorities comb the block, I'm peeping they steeds. After me, cause the rhymes worked about 2 keys. A double back, 4 C's. Fiends fly off the knees, the results more. Then no worry, we. I strike them down suddenly. Funny how they rush me. Must be the money. You hate me or you love me. Don't ever f*** me. Trust me. We can make the scene turn ugly.
They don't know microphones banging.
My format is all that. My concepts reside.
They don't know microphones banging.
7-11 esoteric. Speaking real words.
They don't know microphones banging.
My format is all that. My concepts reside.
Confess,
of your wax platter. Esoteric is stab up the trash matter. But words globally, rap tattoo, rap locally. Transmit poetry, fit to hit them globally. Echo, yes, that is fresh from the get-go. Sinister, ready to administer the death blow. A rap cats, cause I'm taking it back to a time when it was cool to call hip-hop rap. Cause I've been rapping since fly sneakers with G. Said the bottom of Koreans down on Washington Street. Said I had a cameo, said the rock rope chains. Said I had gold fronts with the polo frame. Said it's going way back, said it's pro-black rap. Said your jungle brothers let me know I got it like that. Did on the microphone's banging.
My format is all that, my concept's refined.
Did on the microphone's banging.
Seven Evanescence that's the terror.
Did on the microphone's banging.
My format is all that, my concept's refined.